The sermon this morning is a result of preparing for this morning's Bible study and also the readings that we have assigned for the service. And as the Bible class knows this morning, and I told them, I had prepared to get up to Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, but we didn't reach it. But I did read that, and I said, the sermon is going to reflect on this. We're just finishing up the earlier verses. I have a translation of that Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, written in the notes there. To the angel, the one of the church in Philadelphia, write these things, declares the Holy One. In our translation, it usually says the true one, but a suggested translation is the genuine one, the one having the key of David. And that's the introduction to this letter, these seven letters that begin Revelation. And these letters are from Jesus to these churches. And this letter and the following verses are to the church in that city of Philadelphia, those Christians there. And it struck me as I was preparing to be ready for that verse, but we will yet cover it, that this commentator, Dr. Lenski, translated this not the true one, but the genuine one. And this is Jesus himself speaking this. These things declares the Holy One, the genuine one, the one having the key of David, the one opening and no one locks, and locking and no one opens, I know thy works. The genuine one. When the prices get higher, sometimes you get the store brand, even though you like the name brand better. You trade down. When you're buying a tool, there's all different types of brand names. And you might have a favorite brand name. And you're hoping you can afford the tool of that brand name, because you know it's better, and you believe it's even better than any other type brand name tool. That hammer is better than any other hammers by any other company. But sometimes you can't afford to get the one you think is the best. So you're getting a different one. But in your mind and heart, you would like a genuine one, the real one. The one that really works. Our gospel reading is this very detailed recording of this miracle that Jesus healed, saved, this man possessed with many demons. And it's recorded by Luke that when this demon-possessed man saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not," well, our translation says torment, but you can also say torture me. Torment, torture. The demon, and we learn in just the following verses, demons, plural. The demons knew Jesus to be the Son of the Most High God, the top power. You are the Son of the Most High God. What have you to do with us, we demons? They were powerful, weren't they? They possessed this guy. They took over his life. They tried to bind him with chains. The demons gave him the power to break the chains. I imagine they would rather him be clothed, but the demons gave him power to keep people away from him, to stay naked. And he didn't live in a house like somebody in his right mind, normal, but he lived among the tombs. He was unclean. He was deadness throughout his life. But all the power of these demons, yet they recognize Jesus as the Son of the Most High. This is the Most High God. You are above us. We beg you, don't torture us. Don't torment us. So they saw Jesus as the Son of the Most High God, whom they knew was the Christ, was the Savior. The demons knew that already, and it comes out in other places in Luke as well. And they knew that this Son of the Most High God had power over all evils. And if you're filling in the blank, put it plural. Evils. Because there were many evils in this man's life. And there's many evils in the world. It's not just one evil. There's many evils. He even has power over, and we're told in Luke, that Jesus asked how many demons. What is your name? He asked. He said, Legion. Because there were many demons, thousands in fact, thousands of demons in this man. And Jesus, as the Son of the Most High God, has power even over thousands of demons and even over the animals. They begged him not to put them into the abyss, the place of final suffering at the end times. Satan and all the demons will be thrown into the abyss and all their followers. And they were asking Jesus, don't throw us to the final torture and torment yet. They're begging him. Lowly Jesus, who was born of the cradle, the Virgin Mary, born poor among people every day, healing them, whether poor or rich, interacting with people. They're begging Jesus, don't throw us into the abyss. We know you can, but don't do it yet. And they asked him to throw them into the pigs, and he allowed that. And how? By his word. He says it, he wills it, and so it happens. And they knew that's the way it was. These demons knew that however Jesus wanted, as the Son of the Most High God, that was what was going to happen. They were under him. And just a brief thought and break about this. His word. The demons knew that his word changed their lives and controlled them to go this way and that way. He had ultimate power. Sometimes we Christians even, we don't think God's word will accomplish something in our life, or that we shouldn't have faith in his word, or something in the world is more powerful or more influential than his word. But the demons themselves knew that by the word of Jesus, they could be thrown into the abyss. By his word. Now the unbelievers, those who saw this plainly, they were afraid of Jesus. They were afraid of what happened. I suggest to our thinking, they were afraid of what Jesus might say. because they saw what his saying would do. Jesus didn't have the fighter planes. He didn't have atomic weapons. He didn't need them. But these things that we fear today, this is not what the demons feared. They fear the word of Jesus. And I would suggest to think that these unbelievers, what they were afraid of, who saw all this happen, they were afraid Jesus would say something against them. They were afraid of his word. And if you think deeply about that, God's word is powerful in people's lives. The promises of God, the laws of God, the various narratives, the history that we have in the Bible, it's powerful. And sometimes, perhaps people are afraid to hear those things from God's word because somewhere inside them, they know it's going to do something in their lives. It's powerful. The demons were afraid of his word. But the saved man, our translation says the healed man. And oftentimes I have said from the pulpit, you can translate it healed or saved. And saved is the whole healing, body, mind, and soul, whole healing. What was he doing? Clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was not afraid of Jesus. He saw the grace of Jesus, the power of Jesus to save, to heal. Faith and unbelief runs away from God's word. Doesn't want to hear it, might even be afraid of it deep down. But when one is saved, then God's word becomes a comfort and a strength because those words control everything and comfort everything. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus and he's at peace. He has the peace of God which passes all understanding, no longer running in the tombs, naked, possessed, but at peace with Jesus, sitting to learn. And he wants to stay with Jesus. This always strikes me, this narrative. He wants to stay with Jesus. But Jesus' will is something else for him. Jesus' will is no, go back to your home, to your place, and tell everyone what God has done for you. And he obeys Jesus. He's at peace with Jesus, and if Jesus says, no, I want you to do this, he's at peace. Just a few points for us. Jesus is the Son of the Most High God. I was talking with a professor, former professor of mine, about the Lord's Supper and various things about it, some email conversations a couple weeks ago. And he said one thing he is concerned about is sometimes we don't have the awe of who God is. And we are not showing respect to God, or if we take things lightly. And we were talking in a sense of the Lord's Supper. This is the body and blood of the Son of the Most High God for the forgiveness of our sins. It's a holy thing. And I know all of you personally. And I know you believe that and think that and hold to that. And yet, the devil at times wants us to turn away from respecting Jesus or trusting him or listening carefully to the words that he puts with the bread and the wine. This is my body. This is my blood of the new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. And the comfort that Jesus wants to give us at that. The devil wants us to forget. Jesus calls us to remember. And to remember that he is, as the translation might read, the genuine one, the real thing, the authentic one. We need to always remember that there is no substitutions for Jesus. There's no trading down, whether it's wealth or education or political power or another God or another religion or whatever it might be. There is no substitution for Jesus. The demon said, you are the Son of the Most High. You are the genuine thing. You are the real thing. We respect you. What are you going to do with us? That is who our Lord and Savior is. That's who died and rose for us. That's who calls us brother and sister, is the genuine one. The very best tool, the very best car, the very best house, the very best land, the very best whatever. He is the best. And I won't spend much time on it. But when Jesus says something is unlocked, it is unlocked. When Jesus says something is locked, it is locked. When he unlocks it, nobody can lock it. When he locks it, nobody can open it. When Jesus unlocks forgiveness and peace to us, it is forgiveness and peace to us, and nobody can take that away. And the demons are even afraid. So, when things are going this way and that way, we remember, Jesus has unlocked paradise to me. He has unlocked forgiveness to me. His blood was shed for me, the Son of the Most High God. I am forgiven. I am at peace with God. And however he sends me to obey him, I can do it. I am at peace with God. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we ask you to give faith in your Son, for he is of you, the Most High God, who has died and risen for us, who has proclaimed victory over all evils and over death, over the power of the grave. There is nothing that he does not have power over. Sometimes we forget that or fear something else more than we trust in you. Forgive us for those times, but help us to know and believe your word and all the miracles Jesus has done, including his resurrection from the dead, to know that he is the King, the Judge, the Victor, our Shepherd, our Friend. Give us calm and peace each day of our lives in this faith, so that whatever we face and whatever you call us to do for you or to go through in this life, for your name's sake, we can do it. Because we know that Jesus is for us and we have peace with you through him. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.